Please turn with me in your Bibles to the Gospel of Luke, if you will, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24. Let's consider the visit of the women to the tomb early Easter Sunday morning, Luke chapter 24. Before we get into chapter 24, verses 1 through 12, as the women go to the tomb and are absolutely amazed at what they find, and they are informed by two angelic messengers as to what has happened, and we see their reaction, let's just back up a moment and consider what has transpired up to this point. Jesus has had a ministry of almost 3.5 years. He has been out doing all kinds of miracles, spectacular things. He's even raised dead people. And certainly the disciples are convinced Jesus is the Messiah. He's certainly from God, doing God's will. And boy, it's just great to be with Jesus. Jesus is always in charge. Jesus always has the power. He can rectify any terrible situation and just turn things around. While the authorities wanted to lay their hands on Jesus and kill him, they've never been able to do so up till now. Jesus sets his face to go to Jerusalem. He goes to Jerusalem. He's welcomed by a big crowd. Lots of enthusiasm when Jesus rides into Jerusalem on a donkey. But then things go terribly wrong. Jesus celebrates Passover with his disciples. He goes out. And then he's arrested in the Mount of Olives at night. He's whisked away. There's a trial before Caiaphas and other members of the Jewish Supreme Court, the Sanhedrin. They mock Jesus. They ask him plainly, "Are you the Christ? Are you the Son of God?" And Jesus says, "Well, it is as you say." They've heard blasphemy, so they say for themselves, "What further need do we have? We can crucify him." So now they bring Jesus to Pilate. Pilate can't figure out what wrong he's done. He claims to be a king, but Pilate does not feel the least bit politically threatened. Jesus doesn't look like a king. And so Pilate says time and time again, I find no fault in this man. What evil has he done? I find no fault in this man. I find no fault in this man. Finally, the people cry out and crucify him, crucify him. Finally, Pilate gives in. We have to ask ourselves, well, who's in charge here? Is the Roman governor in charge or is the people in charge? Well, Pilate's weak. He gives in. We know it's all according to God's will. So Jesus is there on the cross, bleeding, being crucified. And you know as well as I do, crucifixion was meant to be torturous. It was meant to degrade and disgrace the body as much as humanly possible. And Jesus is crucified. Amazingly, in Jesus' crucifixion, he looks down and says, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." What compassion on the part of Jesus. There's no sense of revenge or retaliation on the part of Jesus. And then finally, Jesus says, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." He breathes his last and he dies. So now what? Joseph of Arimathea comes along. You know, I don't think Joseph is given enough credit in this story. That's at the end of chapter 23. We learn that this Joseph, he was from the town of Arimathea, about 20 miles away, but as a member of the Jewish Supreme Court, known as the Sanhedrin, he no doubt would have lived in Jerusalem. He probably bought some property in Jerusalem. And no doubt he has a beautiful garden, a beautiful estate in Jerusalem. He's very wealthy. He's very well off. And we know that because he was able to have someone chisel out of rock, out of a huge, massive rock, he was able to have someone chisel a tomb, an above-ground sepulcher. And no doubt Joseph of Arimathea paid for it all. We learn that he's a just and righteous man. We learn that he was one who was waiting for the kingdom of God, and no doubt Joseph believed that the kingdom of God was present in Jesus, and that Jesus would usher in a new era. He would usher in the kingdom of God. We learn in the Gospel of John that Joseph of Arimathea was a disciple of Jesus, but privately, but secretly, for fear of the Jews. And Joseph had a lot of guts. He had a lot of courage. He went to the Roman governor Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. That had some risks involved, you know. Everybody would know that he was a sympathizer with Jesus. Maybe he would get in trouble. But he was bold. He was courageous. He went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus, because if he did not ask for the body of Jesus, Jesus would have received a common burial. The Jewish court had some land set aside to bury people who had no family or who were criminals. And Jesus just might have ended up in an unmarked grave and have been completely forgotten. He may have been dishonored, not only in his death, but he may have been dishonored in his burial. And Joseph of Arimathea, being a devout man, a righteous man, a believer in Jesus, one who loved Jesus and believed that redemption was coming in him, went to Pilate. He asked for the body of Jesus. We also learned that Nicodemus went with him. Remember Nicodemus in John chapter 3? He was a disciple of Jesus as well. He was also a member of the Jewish court. No doubt wealthy and influential. So the two of them went to Pilate. They asked for the body of Jesus, and they took the body down. That must have been a gruesome experience, taking the body of Jesus down. It was not for the faint of heart. No doubt being a wealthy man, Joseph would have had servants to help do that. The body was carefully wrapped in linen. It was given some spices and some aromatic oil, fragrance, if you will. And then the body of Jesus was carried up to Joseph's private estate in and around Jerusalem and placed in this new, never-before-used tomb, which no doubt Joseph spent a lot of money to have it hewn out of rock. And there Jesus was placed. The women were there from a distance, and they saw where Jesus' body was placed. Perhaps the disciples also tagged along, we don't know. Perhaps they too saw where the body of Jesus was placed. And now chapter 24. This is Luke chapter 24, verse 1. Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning. Let me just pause there for a moment. Very early in the morning. I just want to mention something about the Gospels. The Gospels all agree. They tell one beautiful story. But you know what skeptics like to do? Critics like to do? They like to come along. They like to try to find fault with the Gospels. The Gospel of Matthew says that the women came as the sun was beginning to come up. Mark says the women came when it was light. Luke says the women came very early in the morning. And the Gospel of John says the women came when it was still dark. Oh man, which one of them is right? They're all right. They're all correct. It's just a matter of human perspective. Okay, the sun's starting to come up. So when the sun starts to come up, guess what? It's still dark, but not completely light. It's light, but not completely.